Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're here, guys. pretty good win last night.
Win's a win.
I was exuberant about it last night. But you know, I got all riled up in the heat of the moment at the stadium. But looking back on it, I think we could have done better.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like a little bit of a disapproving dad that it's like a B+, and I'm like,
Could have been an A.
Could have been an A.
Could have been an A.
So we're going to do a little recap of the Spurs versus Clippers action last night. We're going to get into a preview of the upcoming battle against the juggernaut Nets. And then we're going to wrap up with our Pacific Division rankings, which we do every Friday if you're new to the show. And then our favorite segment, Love, Marry, Kill. We're going back to Kill?
Yeah. You said it, so we're going back to it.
Wherein we're going to be doing a little Love, Marry, Kill with some famous Clippers fans?
Yeah.
Super fans?
I think just fans.
Celebra fans?
Celebra fans.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so as Will mentioned, Clippers got a sloppy win over the Spurs. 116 to 111.
It felt even closer than that.
Which is really depressing because at one point we were up by 14.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it really did come down to like foul shots at the end.
Yeah. Hit you guys with some quick stats real quick. Lou led the way with 23 points on a high volume night of 9 for 20 shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, that's fine. Gallo had 19.
9 for 20. I mean, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. A lot of shots.
A lot of shots, yeah.
I mean, hey. He gets us the win. He's like our closer now, so I can't be too mad at it. Gallo had 19. Toby with 18, despite starting off super hot like earlier in the game. I thought he was maybe going to go for 30 this game.
Do you think that ankle's still bothering him?
Maybe a little bit. That collision.
I don't want to make something out of nothing. It just seemed like watching him on the court that maybe he didn't have like the same kind of bounce.
He was moving a little gingerly.
Yeah.
Trez with 14 points on 4 of 8 shooting. Not too bad. He did a little bit of everything last night, which was great.
Yeah, he did.
We had no answer for DeRozan.
No.
Who had 34 points, but that took him 30 shots to get there.
Yeah.
So it's like, take all the 30 shots you want. LaMarcus Aldridge was very un-LaMarcus. He was just 10 points in 30 minutes, but he did have 16 boards.
Yeah, so over the last six-game stretch, I think he's only had one game where he's been like in the 20s. He's been having kind of a rough go of it for a while, which, you know, I mean, I'd like to give all the credit to our defense. I don't think that it's that,
yeah.
But I definitely will give him some of the credit.
I think also it's because he likes playing power forward more,
yeah,
than traditional center, and just because of their injuries and stuff, he's had to play traditional center.
Just keep Poeltl out there.
I don't know, man.
He didn't play that much, which I was kind of surprised. I talked about in the preview being kind of nervous, and he was a factor, I thought, anytime he was out there.
He played really well.
Just a little bit of an asterisk, I guess, which, you know, wins never need an asterisk. But
yeah.
I did think it was interesting just how much time some of these guys who are much lower in the rotation got to play last night.
For us or for them?
For us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at like the lineups that were the most used last night,
mm-hmm.
other than our starting lineup of Shea, Pat, Tobayo, and Gortat, the second most used unit was Ty Wallace with Thornwell, Mike Scott, and then Lou Williams and Montrez.
Yeah, he used that to close out the first and open the second.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say it was mixed results.
It was mixed results. They finished with a plus minus of 7, which was good for the second best, which you would hope if it's the second most used unit.
Yeah.
Not terribly efficient. Mm-hmm. I think their field goal percentage was like 40, was right at 40%. They went 50% from 3, but it was on 2 shots. So.
Yeah. Justin Russo had a really interesting stat on Twitter today that Sindarius and Ty have only played 23 minutes together. And while their offensive rating isn't that good, their defensive rating is 83.
Oh, wow.
Dude, like those two together, if we're going to need a defensive stopping lineup, I think that's who we go to. Because their defense was phenomenal last night.
Yeah.
The scoring, we definitely were lacking it.
Yeah.
We gave up that 14-point lead because we were just discombobulated and stuff like that. But these
can you
two,
imagine those two with Luke, Scott, and then whoever you want to plug in at the 5?
That would be nice.
I think that'd be
that's a really good defensive. Or
can't really score.
If Mike Scott's hot, you can.
if Mike Scott is there and you throw Trez in at the five,
yeah,
you have a little bit of scoring option.
But it's
sure.
definitely more of, I do like that idea. I think we'll probably see these two guys out there more because their defense was really good last night.
Absolutely. And just another stray observation, Ty Wallace looked great last night.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
He's so confident. He only had 9 points, but it was in 15 minutes. It was fairly efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked watching him.
Yeah, I agree.
That was my Thirsty Thursday. I stand by it. I stand by every prediction I made yesterday. Damn it, I'm good.
Yeah, every metric that you thought that we had to do well in to get a blowout, they beat us in.
Yeah, so hence we didn't get a blowout. Yeah, yesterday, if you missed the show, I talked about how it would be really important for us against like kind of a slower team to punish them with fast break points, which they outscored us there, try to generate more second chance points, obviously. Beat us there as yep. well, and also to really try to punish them in the paint as best we could against their size. I knew it would be hard. Once again, they outscored us there.
And another big thing was turnovers. We had what
12
we
to
had
their
12,
five.
They had five. We had six in the first half. Miriam Swanson had a great stat. We had six in the first half. They got 12 points off those turnovers, which is terrible to see. A low light for me was up until the third quarter, Shea.
Yeah.
Shea looked a little tentative.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't making mistakes. Like, he wasn't turning the ball over a ton or anything.
It's a situation where I think sometimes indecision is the worst decision.
Yeah.
I would rather you make a bad decision than no decision.
Absolutely. And, yeah, he just looked a little like... He wasn't trying to mess up or something like that. He wasn't locked in.
Yeah.
A lot of the team wasn't early.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised with. He's just had some really good games. But, you know, he's a rookie. I guess it's to be expected. And like I said, this matchup is kind of interesting in that I don't think that you ever know what the hell you're going to be up against when you play the Spurs.
Yeah. Like the injuries.
Especially
of like,
right now.
Yeah.
Like, I consider myself a pretty heavy NBA fan. I don't know a good portion of their roster.
Yeah. It was really funny to see some players. You're like, oh, okay. Of course.
We went with a buddy of ours, and he kept going, who's this Bryn Forbes guy?
He played well.
He played really, really well.
They got something in him for sure.
So kind of what saved us Lou Williams. We moved the ball a little bit more. Both of these teams rank around the same in assists, like on field goals. So I think that we got the ball moving a little bit better, which was able to get past like their size and defense a little bit more efficiently.
For sure.
And we shot. We definitely shot the ball better, both from the three-point percentage as well as. Just the field.
Yeah, there was, I mean, the biggest three of the night, it was all tied up with 40 seconds left. Lou hit a three when it was tied at 108. And from that point on, it was kind of just a battle of free throws.
Yeah.
And we ended up winning, which is great. Gallo went 9-for-10 at the line last night, which was really cool. DeMar DeRozan missed his two free throws in the fourth quarter, so everyone got chicken sandwiches.
I'm going to be grabbing a sandwich probably right after this pod.
Here's a note.
Charles lost his ticket like a moron.
I didn't lose it. I know where it is on my bedside table. I just forgot it. Here's one thing that made me really mad about last night. And I think you were mad about this too.
What do you got?
It was like we were watching the game in San Antonio.
Yes.
We were at the game, and I thought I had been dosed with something to make me hallucinate, because after every Spurs bucket, it was very loud. And I'm not talking like, I understand traveling fans travel. Sometimes, you know, there's like, oh, there's like a nice little group of Spurs fans. This felt like they were everywhere.
Yeah. I'm not a participator. I'm not a big participator in group demonstrations. Something about it always feels very off. But there were so many Spurs fans that I went hoarse last night, like just trying to scream for the Clippers.
The atmosphere was annoying. There was a group of Spurs fans behind us who were quietly complaining to themselves that we were standing up with 40 seconds to go in a tie game.
Doing the old man two thing where they're calling everything freaking travel.
That's a travel. And it was like,
get out of here. Also, one thing I do want to give to our credit as to why this was so close was the officiating was awful.
It was unbelievably bad.
We could not get a call.
We couldn't get a call, and we couldn't even breathe
without
the Spurs.
Yeah, without getting a foul. It was nuts.
It was very annoying.
I don't know if that was because it was our nationally televised game, and we kind of have we got a badass reputation. A bunch of badasses out there.
We are so badasses, dude. I also, there was a bunch of loose balls for both teams that would go off the Spurs, and the Spurs would get the ball. Or, like, there was a play where Lou clearly was the last person to touch the ball and went out of bounds, and we got the ball.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, if you're just all around sloppy, this kind of sucks.
It was all around sloppy, but I do feel like we kind of got the butt end of a lot of calls.
I mean, Mike Scott fouled out.
Yeah.
The game itself was close, but it was kind of a sloppy close.
It was.
I was really happy we could pull away at the end. It was a good... I mean, any victory is good. You mentioned this after the game, which I really agree with. This was a big bounce back game for us mentally, given how hard the reffing was putting us behind the eight ball and stuff like that. It was cool to see guys get a foul call, put their head down, and just keep it moving.
Yeah, and you could tell that they were getting frustrated, which always makes me nervous because I just get those flashbacks to Lob City era. And I think like in that era, we don't win this game.
Yeah, we don't win it, or... we win it, and then the next game we come out, and we're just flat.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of that stuff from Lob City would permeate to the next game or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
With those guys. DeMar DeRozan had a great quote about Clippers savior Lou Williams. He's definitely the best sixth man in the NBA. When you go out there and do what he does, it just seems effortless, which is true. We have two sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
We got Trez, we got Lou. We have the best bench in the league. I think last night really proved it.
Definitely.
Hopefully, we figure some stuff out. Yeah, it was nice that Gallo didn't play a ton of minutes. Like, he played a lot, but he sat for a lot with when that second unit was out there.
This is the closest a bench has scored to us. Guys had a bit of an off night.
Yeah, and I think it was just getting used to that Ty, Lou, Thorn, Scott, Trez lineup that was out there for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Those guys
yeah.
didn't play together a bunch and haven't. And so I think them getting... they were great, good defensively, but offensively still figuring it out. If Scott isn't hot in that lineup, it's hard to score points.
Yeah, and he was pretty good. He shot for 50%, I'm pretty sure, something like that.
Yeah, the fouling out was also kind of not really his fault. I mean, don't make those fouls, but the refs weren't doing him any favors.
No.
That was our wrap-up of the Spurs game. Very fun time. Clippers fans, please start going to more games.
Get loud, guys. Come on.
As the song says, let's get loud. Coming up after this advertisement... we're going to be talking about a preview against the Clippers versus the Nets. So,
Clippers Nets, who you taking right now?
I'm taking the Clippers.
The Clippers
by 15.
Yeah.
So, what we need to do to win? The Nets are 24th in pace. We're 8th. Let's run these fools out of Brooklyn, dude.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they're so slow for like a young team.
Yeah, definitely. That stat kind of popped out and I was like, 24th in pace. Okay, fine. Like, let's just run, dude.
Yeah.
We talked about it last night. We wanted to see some more running. So hopefully that happens tomorrow. We need to keep up our 3-point percentage. We're only ranked 27th in threes a game. So let's maybe take more. We're third in the league in 3%.
Which is wild, right? Because we take 25 a game and we're like at the bottom
of
the league.
Almost last. They are 24th in defensive rating going against our 7th rated offensive rating. So, I mean, what we need to do to win is just play our normal game.
Also, please, no one tell Patrick Beverley that we're ranked 27th in threes attempted.
Dude, he was...
I don't want him to take one more all season.
Well, he took 6 last night.
It was absurd.
It was really funny. We were watching the game. Section 210, no one came to say what's up. That's fine. We're not worried about it. Every time he would kind of hesitate with the ball, we all just went, oh no, because we thought he was going to throw up another 3-pointer.
Yeah.
He still does the thing where there'll be 14 seconds left on the shot clock and he'll jack up a 3.
Yeah. Without looking for an open man.
And even when it goes in, it's like, great, but come on, man. What do you think could go wrong?
What do I think could go wrong? Man, I'm like trying to think of a worst case scenario, I guess. Everyone gets diarrhea and can't play.
And you're giving the Nets no credit right now.
I'm sorry, dude. Caris LeVert is out.
Thankfully going to be okay.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm not happy that he's out.
Oh, no, I know.
But
for me, I dove a little deep into the stats. Not really. They're third in offensive boards in the league.
Okay.
Which is an issue that we got into against Portland, which is pretty much how we lost the game. Are the Nets as good as Portland? Obviously not. But... if there's going to be anything that we lose the game, it's going to be getting punished on the boards down low.
I think it could be.
I don't know who's going to do it because I also don't know who's going to play center for them.
Yeah. Also, disregarding my previous comment, like it would be a mistake to go in there and like take this game lightly.
Which I don't think we will. I think in past teams, Maybe we should put a moratorium on saying Lob City on this podcast. I just thought of that.
Yeah.
We're trying to move past it. All right. Anyway, sorry. Past teams.
I feel like we only say it with
disdain.
Almost with disdain.
Past teams would maybe take a game like this for granted. I don't think we do that.
I think that if the starters are taking this game for granted, we got so many more guys who are willing to get in there. And
we got Big Knife, Little Knife.
Big Knife, Little Knife.
Now, another thing that could go wrong, they're 11th in three-point percentage, and they rank 6th in 3 points attempted.
Wow.
Which, they have such goofy stats.
Yeah, definitely.
So if they get really hot, that could be a problem.
Yeah, well, I just think that that's the thing with a team like this. If they really get into rhythm, you're looking at a bad night. You're looking at a hard night.
And it is at home. So maybe something like that.
And a crappy loss.
It would be a crappy loss. This would be a bad loss with how well we've been playing.
Yeah.
We knock off the Spurs, Bucks, Warriors, and then we lose to the Nets.
Oh, yeah. Charles Barkley called Tobias the most underrated player in the NBA.
He absolutely is.
So we can't lose for the rest of the game.
Yeah. And then my last note was our bench doesn't bring it and we get sloppy, but I'm never really worried about that. I get less worried about that as the year goes.
Yeah.
Because Trez is playing well. Trez got a couple MVP chants last night.
Oh, he did. Yeah, it was great.
It was right before
then he missed two free throws.
Two pretty clutch free throws that we needed. So key matchups. I'm excited for, first of all, D'Angelo Russell, we really like on this podcast.
Yeah.
We like D'Angelo Russell. Excited to see him and Beverly go at it.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
I think that's going to be kind of a tricky guard. D'Lo's a big dude.
He is.
He's a pretty big point guard. He is. And he's a really good passer.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a really
cool battle. He's getting his legs back under him after that terrible injury last year.
Yes. And then I was really kind of fishing for some matchups that I wanted to see. Dinwiddie versus Shea.
All right.
That'll be cool. I don't know, man. I'm not excited about this Nets team. I'm usually excited about teams we play.
Yeah.
This is not an exciting team.
Sorry, guys.
I mean, sorry, Nets fans, if you're listening to this for some reason. And then our centers versus whatever guy they get off the street to play center.
Yeah. Who?
Damari Carroll?
Didn't Jahlil play center for him?
I don't know. No? Like, but yeah, so this feels like a game we should win.
Okay.
I think our guys know that. I think Doc knows that. But I don't think he's going to preach it like that.
Yeah.
What are your... I don't know. Who do you think is going to go off in this game for us?
Nobody stopping Lou Will. He's going to have 40.
Oh, wow. 40. No.
I don't know. You won't have 40.
But I was going to say I think it's going to be Lou Will. This could also be a game where... Hopefully Avery Bradley comes back. I don't know his foot injury seems a lot worse than initially. He was supposed to come back on Saturday, maybe.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen him. Been a week.
Yeah.
This could be a game where Beverly goes off, has like a random, like 20.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like a 20-10 game, which would be cool. You know what I would like to see? This was kind of nice last night. Gortat's been playing a lot better than the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they were on a bit of a run. It was in the second when we let our lead up. And Beverly and Gortat ran just a very classic pick and roll. We got a quick bucket. And it's nice that we can kind of lean on that when it's like, oh, we need a bucket. We kind of got to stop the bleeding a little bit to get Gortat that pick and roll.
Yeah.
So maybe Gortat goes off tomorrow. And by goes off, this is for Gortat. I'm not talking like anything crazy. Maybe he goes for 20 tomorrow.
That'd be big.
That'd be fantastic. Didn't see a lot of Boban last night.
He was a DNP.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. Do you think we'll see him against the Nets?
I hope so. I mean, they don't really have an answer for him.
I mean, no one does. But it's been cool to see Doc really parceling out center time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, that we could see, and I'm hoping that we see Ty go off.
That'd be really cool.
I think it'd be cool to see, yeah, Ty in double digits.
Yeah, I want to get a bigger sample size of Ty and Thorngod out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thorngod did not play well offensively last night. I believe he had 0 points.
He did. No, he had 2 points, but they were on free throws.
Hey, we'll take him.
But yeah, he didn't look great. His handling looks a little bit better than it had looked the first game that he played.
But
he had like a goofy high dribble, and I was like, That's not going to work,
man. Yeah,
it's
still not that good. Luckily, he's not a primary ball guy. I hope we see some Jerome in this game.
Yeah. Also a DNP last night.
That's
fine. He could have got some minutes in.
I don't know. I think it was too close all game. I don't think Doc trusts him in those That's what's so great about the Shea situation is it's like, we need to close it out. Let's go to Shea.
Yeah.
I don't think he trusts Jerome yet, which is fair. I don't think he distrusts him.
No. He's just not proven yet, so.
Yeah. What's your score prediction?
Score prediction, I think it's going to be, I think we're going to put up more than 120.
Damn.
I think it's going to be 110 to 128.
You think we're giving up 110?
Yes.
Disrespectful. I thought we were going to blow them out last night. I was very wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I think we'll go, I think it's going to be, Clippers are going to win 115-97.
All right.
I think we're holding them under 100, which is your favorite thing in the world.
It is.
Hopefully it happens. Guys, coming up after this, we're going to be doing some Pacific Division rankings, along with some Love, Marry, Kill for some special fans. But first, guys, pretty sweet on Locked On NBA. They've added former first-round pick and 8-year NBA veteran Trevor Booker.
Can you believe it?
To join that podcast, which is awesome. He played last season for the Nets, who are going to probably stomp tomorrow. Really sweet. Super excited to hear his analysis, everything like that.
Yeah.
If you follow the Locked On podcast, any of them, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It's a nice way to get everything centralized if you follow a couple of them. They chop some stories up for Instagram, which is really cool for breaking news and stuff like that. We got all your local stuff coming at you at least 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So check out Locked On Net at Twitter and Instagram.
All right. So Pacific Division. I think that we're definitely unanimous on... Do we want to start at the bottom or at the top?
Start at the top.
I mean, we should start at the top. So, number one for both of us, I think it's clear, should be clear to everyone out there, anyone who watches the NBA.
Say it on three. One, two, three.
Clippers.
It's the Clippers, guys. We're the best team in the Pacific Division right now. We're what, half game out of first place in the Western Conference?
Yeah.
Get ready, league. Hope you got your seatbelts on.
And we beat the Warriors, beat the Rockets twice. Aren't really even in the top. But
beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
It's a good day. So, who do you got at two?
Two. This one's a little bit tough. I got to go Warriors.
I said Warriors, too. They're still the Warriors. Shockingly, they came back and won after the Draymond kerfluffle.
Yeah.
Which I don't think will mean anything.
But then lost to the Rockets.
Yeah, that was a good game. Who's your number three?
The Lakers have been really hot lately. I think I'm going to go Kings.
Wow.
It's one of those things where I just want to keep enjoying it while it's there. You know?
Yeah. Just holding on to that flame. I'm just going to... That's really funny.
I'm going to hold on to those.
I went Lakers.
That's fair.
I went Lakers at three. They're on a tear right now.
They are.
Tyson Chandler is, I don't know, the best player on that team to make them better, I guess. I'm never going to understand how this works so well.
Yeah. And I mean, LeBron had 40 or whatever, so...
Yeah, whatever. 40 burger. Four, I'm assuming you went Lakers.
Yes.
Four, I went Kings. But only because the Lakers have been playing so well.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's absolutely fair. That's a rational ranking. I'm keeping them at three.
All right. And then the bottom, the Suns.
The Suns.
Oof.
Yeah.
Not a good time over there. Ayton looks good.
Does. What are they right now? 5-8? 5-9?
I don't know. Something bad. Bigger numbers in the second call.
Yeah.
Is the most important thing. But yeah, I like where the Clippers are at right now. I think after this, you know, we play the Nets. We play the Hawks on Monday. I mean, we could be sitting pretty, pretty.
Yeah.
After this, these next couple of games. So let's get into our Love, Marry, Kill. We are doing celebrity Clippers fans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I got a list here we can look at. I'm going to go. Do you mind if I go first?
Go for it.
Here's who I'm loving. Clippers stripper.
Really?
Yeah. Seems like a fun guy. For those of you who are listening, you maybe don't know, there's a guy named the Clippers stripper who used to wear a mess of t-shirts at games, and he would just rip them off and dance.
Yeah.
And I think they banned him. I don't know.
I hope he's in jail.
I hope he's doing okay.
I think he's in jail.
That's who I would love. He seems like a fun guy. We'd be going
really?
To Clippers games. He's got all those shirts.
He seems like a criminal.
He'd wine and dine me.
He'd assault you.
No, he'd buy me all those shirts is what he would do. I need clothes, guys. Marrying Paul Scheer. Absolutely hilarious comedian.
Great.
Seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Very funny. We'd have a fun time.
Very stable. He's always working.
Always working. That's the thing. I never would be wanting for anything. In this situation, I am very much a housewife who does nothing.
Yeah.
Not that housewives don't do anything, but in my situation, we don't even have a kid.
Yeah, it's the situation you're trying to get into.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wearing athleisure wear 24/7.
Okay.
Living off of mini chicken pot pies from Trader Joe's. Celebrity Clippers fan that I would kill, man, I don't really know. I don't know. I like all these guys.
All right.
I guess I would say maybe Billy Crystal because he hasn't been to a game in a while.
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable. What's he doing? He's not busy.
That's true. He's not.
Billy, if you're listening, which you probably are, I would obviously never kill you. Come to a game, man. We need the support.
Yeah.
We need that Crystal support. Crystals are big right now. Let's put some of that energy in the world. Oh, okay.
Man.
I'll get out of here, guys.
The podcast is canceled.
All right. Who's yours?
All right. So of this very elite list, I think I'm loving Adam Devine.
Oh, wow. I mean, I can't argue with that.
He's so funny.
He can sing.
He's so talented. He is actually like a really nice dude too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could see, I don't know how that would work out long term, but I could see it being fun.
Yeah. All right, who are you marrying?
I'm actually going to marry, I'm not going to all workaholics people here, but I guess I kind of am.
You are.
I'm marrying Eric Griffin.
Eric Griffin, fantastic stand-up comedian.
He is like...
so funny.
Yeah, he's been a touring comedian for, I don't know, maybe as long as I've been alive.
Yeah.
Very funny dude. Always, he's not like the star of stuff, but he's always working. He's another one of those
fantastic
people who's always working. And he legitimately does love the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
him and Adam Devine have season tickets.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal.
And he's like, and it's not just the kind of love where he's like just there to be on Instagram or whatever. He loves the team.
Also...
and I want him to love me as much as he loves that team.
Anyone who goes to the Clippers games just to be on Instagram needs to get their life together.
Yeah, probably.
You guys might have some arguments with how much he loves the Clippers and how much he loves you.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
That's true.
For when this goes south.
Well, we both love the Clippers like the same amount.
That's true.
So.
All right. And then which
one? Almost like it's almost polyamorous in that way.
Nice. All right. And which one are you, who are you eliminating?
Oh, man. This is tough. Very, very tough. I'm actually going to eliminate the Clipper stripper.
Man. Fine. He's fine.
He seems inappropriate. I think there's a reason that he's not at games anymore. I think something happened. I think something maybe has happened to him. I think maybe he happened to someone else.
Well,
I have no clue.
I didn't realize such a dark past he might have, so I'm going to change my love to Penny Marshall. Can't be mad at Penny Marshall. She's fantastic. She's entertaining. She's absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
I think we'd have a good time. Sorry, Clipper stripper.
You're
not
dead.
Sorry, Billy Crystal. Guys, that has been our show. Thank you so much for listening. On Monday, we got a bunch of cool stuff for you. We're going to have a recap of the Nets game, preview against the game against the Hawks, our weekly rookie report, the Freshies, and guys, we're going to be teasing it as it gets closer to it. But we're going to be having a little something special at Tom's Urban down in LA Live. Going to be on December 3rd. It's going to be a really good time. We're going to keep you posted on all the details. Maybe a watch party. Maybe some drink specials. I don't know.
I feel like you're being a little too coy.
That's
December 3rd, come to Tom's Urban. The Clippers are playing the Pelicans. We're going to be watching the game together.
Live watch party. There's going to be some giveaways.
Yeah, we're going to be giving away some stuff.
They have one of the coolest keg tap situations I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's
self-serve.
It's a very cool bar, and we have not been paid to say this.
No. Come through. It's going to be fun. We're going to be having more details as it gets closer. Thank you for listening, guys. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.